Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Today, I'm very excited in the timely way in which the theme of this morning ties so beautifully as we consider today celebration as a Christian discipline and practice. So over the summer, we've been considering just some basic Christian principles and practices, and celebration is truly one of the most important Christian practices and disciplines. So perhaps the thought of today tying in the word celebration and discipline, perhaps we find that to be a little challenging. The thought of disciplining ourselves to celebrate, perhaps that would seem to you be something that feels too predictable, a little religious, a little rehearsed, perhaps non-authentic if we have to discipline ourselves to celebrate. But perhaps we could think of it today in another light, because we practice the discipline of celebration all the time. Think of the anticipation you have when your birthday is coming. You are anticipating the celebration, perhaps, or certainly the coming together that we have around weddings and milestones and retirement and baptisms, baby's birth. We practice the discipline of celebration often, and I think in some ways that is a gift from us, our gift to us from God. For certainly, when, as we will look into Scripture, we will see God's narrative and the introduction of practice that calls you and I continually back to a place of celebrating, not in a way that we're naive, but rather in a way that solidifies and strengthens faith and moves us on. So let me just unpack this for just a couple minutes. The discipline celebration. So when you take a look into the Old and then into the New Testament, which we are certainly celebrating baptism today, the entire Old Testament was built around seven festivals and seven annual feasts that were set in place to continually call people back to celebrate and to be thankful, to remember, to tell good stories to each other, or perhaps tell the good old stories to each other. And so in order, in the Old Testament, in order for people to return to the discipline of celebration, there were all kinds of things that were done to get people there. They were asked to build things, present things, travel places, eat certain foods at certain times, abstain from certain foods, recite things, read things, remember things. And it was also that the people that were growing in faith would learn to be a people, a community that celebrated for their own benefit. And as we will see in just a minute, for the purpose is also, or for the further purpose of sharing with others. In the New Testament, we see introduced two things that became important to fulfill this Old Testament ideas of sacred annual feasts, and that's called communion and water baptism. How interesting that communion, gathering around the Lord's table, was something that was set very quickly in place after Jesus died and resurrected, calling people continually back. Living Waters, we serve typically on the first Sunday of the month from the front of the room, and we remind ourselves to return and remember and celebrate continually this work of this thing right here. Never forgetting, always returning. Celebrate, 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 because what happened on the cross and what happens in people's lives is worthy of celebration. One of the first things that Jesus did when he came trying to gather a community is he introduced water baptism on Sea of Galilee. We Fraser, kind of the same thing, a little different maybe, kind of the same thing. And it was also that people would find ways and mechanisms and disciplines related to celebration. So there's four ideas I have before we share in a song again. Water baptism is a celebratory reference point that refers to the moment a person receives the gift of salvation. So how many were at the Fraser? Yeah. What we saw at the Fraser was not the main event. Water baptism points to what the main event was. The main event related to this whole narrative is when Jesus comes into a person's heart and life, and that person receives the gift, right? The gift, gifted with salvation. And so water baptism points people to celebrate the gift of salvation, where at one time, I did not have the gift of salvation. I've been gifted the whole thought of forgiveness of sins and moving into a right relationship. And so water baptism is a point of reference, and it's a discipline. It's a discipline. The Bible says to repent and be baptized in the midst of all the celebration, but as it relates to the discipline that you would recognize that you have received an indescribable gift, and this gift is potentially the gift of salvation. It should be noted that, again, Jesus, one of the first Christian sacraments Jesus promoted was baptism. First act. So notice what Jesus said. I think sometimes we've got away from what the Bible would speak of how baptism is associated to the early moments of salvation. So I didn't practice that. I became a Christian at a younger age, and then years later, I was baptized very much like to some of the people that we're speaking today. But when it's possible, I think baptism is tied to repent and be baptized. Why? Because what Jesus had in his mind for new believers is that new believers would quickly become comfortable with testifying and sharing what has personally happened within them. The discipline of celebrating. The discipline of celebrating. So in some ways, salvation is about finding grace, and baptism is about finding your celebratory voice. And both of those are important. To receive grace is important, but to receive a public voice and a platform to express that voice is also important. Jesus said that I would have, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I would have it that people that come to me and who are followers of me would be my witnesses, right? So baptism is set up in a way that you would repent and be baptized. And quickly in our baptism, we would have to find our voice. This is what has happened to me. I've received an indescribable gift from God, and I am so thankful for it. We heard that in both of our services this morning. It's beautiful. Baptism opens the door for celebration in a day when bad news often prevails, and this good news is something that must be spoken of. Baptism, secondly, gets us celebrating as we're reminded of heaven's witness and affirmation. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says this: in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So here we have the thought that we have audience, right? We have audience. So when someone becomes a Christian, they obviously are appreciating the audience they have with Jesus. But yet the Bible says when somebody becomes a Christian, there is a witness in heaven of the good things that are happening on earth. So in the same way that communion points us to, Jesus said, I would have it that you would receive from the table and do so until I return. In the same way, baptism, we do it in light of an understanding that heaven is real. Heaven is real. And there's life in heaven, and what happens on earth, there's a witness, and it even says here that angels rejoice. Angels rejoice. So we are celebrating on earth, but also with an understanding that what is happening on earth is being celebrated in heaven. What a beautiful thought. St. Augustine has been quoted saying, in God's home, there is an everlasting party. And so baptism is a step of obedience. It's a leap of faith in the beginning of a walk with the Lord that will last forever. It'll last forever. That's an interesting thought. We're baptized into eternal life, an eternal reward, which Scripture says leads us to heaven. So much to celebrate, so much to discipline our thoughts towards a complete understanding of what is happening within our lives and what is happening around us. So you ever notice how vibrant baptism Sundays are? It's because there's a witness within our hearts and lives. This is such good things, but I do believe that there are special Sundays because that God draws near. Perhaps affirming a community, a person, a family that makes it a godly priority to celebrate new life and pursue new life. Thirdly, the celebration of discipline, or the discipline of celebration involves the sharing of joy. This is something that I find quite interesting as I've considered it. Last Sunday, if you were here, we considered the practice or the discipline of sharing as it relates to Christianity. Christianity is about sharing. We share our weakness, our weakness. And we looked at last week of how we share our joy, our joy, our joy. So as we hear even today of someone speaking about their faith and about answered prayer, it's necessary to personalize it because these stories are our stories. They're our stories. And we share our joy. So as we even heard in this gathering, we sense the joy, we sense the life. And I'm going, that's our joy that we're sharing today because that's what Christian community shares. We share joy together. So when one good thing is happening in a person's life, like baptism, we go, I share in that joy. I celebrate that. I draw life from that joy. As I was driving here this morning, I was anticipating the joy and benefiting from the joy of six people that are full of joy. And I'm going, I benefit from that. And I benefit from what's happening within their life. See, water baptism calls us into community. That's why you can't water baptize yourself. That's why God set it up so that you and I, when God is doing something in our life, when we're moving to water baptism, which leads us into community, he says, no, you can't do that yourself. You have to present yourself. You have to tell people. You have to involve people. And so what happens? How does it work? When I was baptized at 12, I was of a mind that it was something I needed to do. And so I sought someone out. And I said, God's doing something in my life. And I was, because I don't baptize myself, I needed to involve other people, which is what forming community is all about. Baptism provides a most natural mechanism for celebration as we share this joy together because you have to tell someone. Before anybody is water baptized, you have to tell someone, right? And while that seems so simple and so elementary, when you think about it, it's God's design. Always. that once someone becomes a Christian and sorts it out this way, and with the help of others, we are then positioned to begin to tell other people, and community forms around this. And so joy is a natural response to welcoming Jesus, and celebration naturally flows, and good news stories are told, and it's how the church has moved forward for thousands of years based upon people telling their story. It's awesome. Christianity is not a secret to keep. It's good news to share. So baptism is necessary for the discipline of celebration within a community and the growth of unity and joy. And lastly, the discipline of celebration as it relates to testimony. Revelation says this in chapter 12, verse 11, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony." Baptism is one of the many ways within our Christian experience that zeroes in on our personal experience with God. And it requires of us to begin to put words, with the help of Scripture, with the help of people that are mature in their faith, it requires of us to put words on what has happened within. And that's one of our values at Living Waters Church called spiritual formation. And spiritual formation happens when we start putting words on things and experiences, again, with the help of Scripture. The whole idea of considering water baptism involves coming to understand God's work within our lives and putting words on it, hence the word testimony. So how interesting, friends, do you think that when Jesus was trying to gather people, followers of the way, that were going to be involved in helping enlarge the story, enlarge the narrative, he said, no, you got to repent and be baptized. You've got to quickly find your voice and testify, because not the whole world needs to hear about me. And so baptism is positioned away so that we can go public. And that's a really, really cool thing. So while Christianity is private in the way that God does wonderful things, it is also very public, and we see it through communion, and we see it through baptism. So in two Sundays, when on the first Sunday in September, when we ask people to wake their way down the aisle to come and gather around communion, what are we doing? We're testifying. We're practicing testimony. We're practicing our testimony. So that we eyes wide open, look around, look at all the Christians in the room. Look at all the people that have at one point made their decision for Jesus. Look, on this Sunday, there's six people that have recently made the decision to follow Jesus. How cool. We are practicing our testimony, and that is important as it relates to spiritual authority. One of the greatest gifts, so again, the greatest indescribable gift of salvation, the next greatest gift that God has given any person is their testimony. Again, that's why communion and that's why baptism has been set in place as sacred things for the Christian church, because it calls us back. Hey, Dave, what again is your testimony all about? Dave, what again is it that I've saved you from? Dave, what again has happened in your life? And the good thing, it calls us back to rediscover continually our testimony. What's interesting too, lastly, is that communion and baptism is typically done in Christian circles. It's what happened in certainly in the first century, followers of the way, to avoid persecution. Typically, baptisms were done sometimes in private. So how interesting. Communion, again, is often done in a Christian environment. How interesting that Jesus set these two oracles in place to say, hey, a safe place to find your voice is with your Christian community. And if you can find your voice in Christian community around baptisms and around communion, then you are more apt and able, perhaps, to be able to share with people that maybe have differences of beliefs and difference of thoughts. So you find your voice through communion and also through baptism. Beautiful thing. We need to get familiar, friends, with our testimony. Because it's not only a gift to you, but God has designed it in a way that that is a gift to this whole world. And how beautiful that we can be in Living Waters Church community, and we can give space and place to people to help find their voice. so that perhaps we can all be strengthened and built up in our faith so that we can help others. Again, I'm repeating myself, but we can help others who presently need to hear a bit more about Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team back to join me. So we're looking today at the discipline of celebration. At the discipline of celebration. See, getting to know Jesus is about getting on with a life of profound joy, a life that involves celebration. Do you celebrate? Are you thankful? I love our community. We know how to celebrate. I'm concerned today for perhaps the one who's here, who finds himself today, needing to find their way. Perhaps today you found yourself in this room, and you're saying, "Man, as it relates to my Christian journey, man, there's not much at all going on. There's not much vitality whatsoever. What would I ever dare celebrate? It's trying to survive, let alone celebrate. I'm just trying to survive." And I do think that there are seasons when we find ourselves there. But it's not where we're supposed to stay, right? It's really not. The discipline of celebration is for all of us. And whoever you do that, is it about drawing attention to yourself? Not at all. It's about reminding ourselves of the good things that Jesus is doing and can do. And that certainly changes our perspective on things. Some of you today are not in a good place. And I think you've come to the right place. As we close our service today, we're going to sing a song that says, "Come to the altar." Come to the altar. And certainly the altar is a place where every Christian testimony begins, coming and saying, "Lord, I need you today. I open up my heart wide. I open up my mind wide. I open up my life to you today." And perhaps that would be some of you coming for the first time. And what a good decision that would be, to begin to understand Jesus as a Lord and a Savior, someone who's personal, someone who helps us. This would be just for some, getting back to where you used to be, if I can use that illustration. And it's not as far back as you think. The altar is something that all of us can build, if you would, as we begin to sing, and as we begin to place our story on that altar, and as we allow Jesus to infuse that story with grace and mercy. I think today he cares richly and deeply about all of us in this room. And this is a good day for us. Well, I invite you to stand. In just a moment, we're going to close our service. But perhaps this would be one of the most important times and moments of our service as we draw near to the Lord as he seeks to draw near to us. So let's sing, and I'll conclude the service in just a moment.